Volkswagen was the biggest automaker in the world. Yet now, the company is drowning in over $200 billion in debt, more than the country of New Zealand. How did this happen? As it turns out, this goes much deeper than just mismanagement. Terrible investments, deception, investigations, and even criminal charges are at play. Something terrible happened within Volkswagen that put them at the center of one of the biggest scandals in the auto industry. Now, they're trying to escape the hole they dug. What's even more perplexing about all of this is how big and how successful the Volkswagen Group is. The company merged in 1937 with the iconic Beetle and slowly took over the European market, then the US, then massive parts of Asia. Some of the world's most iconic car brands have been under Volkswagen, including Audi, Porsche, Lamborghini, Bentley, Bugatti, and more. In 2007, they generated 108 billion euros in revenue and had produced 6.2 million cars that year alone, but they wanted more. Their growth had stagnated. In the past few years, Volkswagen had fallen behind their biggest rivals, General Motors and Toyota, who were each manufacturing 2 million more cars than Volkswagen every year. At the heart of this strategy is Martin Winterkorn, the new CEO, who had a grand vision to take the crown of the automotive industry. Winterkorn's big plan was Strategy 2018. By 2018, we will be the world's most profitable, fascinating, and sustainable automobile manufacturer. Okay, but what does that actually mean? Volkswagen had a simple target, 10 million cars produced per year by 2018. They wanted to overtake Toyota and General Motors. With their current production, this was an ambitious goal. The goal also included a profit margin of 8%, up from their current 6%. Yet, behind this perfect PR and their grand strategy, Winterkorn was scheming. There was a darker side to him that wouldn't come to light until much later. You might have caught the last part of that quote, sustainable. Another part of Winterkorn's strategy was the rise of EVs, although he had a different philosophy to his contemporaries. He was very ambitious, as you could probably tell by now, yet also cautious about the EV hype. A considerable amount of research and development work still has to be carried out until we can produce the electric vehicle. We are witnessing an electro-hype. Experts, consultants, and politicians tumble over one another with forecasts. Reportedly, management was split on the solution for sustainability. There were plans for Volkswagen to be the first manufacturer to provide an emissions-free, affordable, and safe large-scale production electric vehicle. But others believed the future was cutting down carbon emissions, and they already saw ways to achieve this. Regardless, Winterkorn was wildly ambitious, with a company that was already gigantic. So, how did it play out? Was this a real change for the German giant, or just another CEO who was all talk? Well, one thing's for sure, words matter. Whether it's a CEO making bold promises or just sending an important email, how you communicate can completely change how people perceive you. And that's why I'm excited to talk about today's sponsor, Grammarly. We all know Grammarly as a spelling and grammar tool, but that was a long time ago. It goes way beyond that now. It's an AI-powered writing partner that helps you write faster, clearer, and more effectively. It works seamlessly inside the apps you already use. So whether you're writing an email or putting together a formal report, Grammarly checks your work in real time. No more copying and pasting between tools like other AI tools. Having produced over 1,000 YouTube videos, writing is a massive part of my day-to-day. From scripting content to handling emails and proposals, I've spent way too much time tweaking my tone. Grammarly makes that process effortless as it can adapt to your audience. Writing to a video sponsor? It keeps things polished and professional. Writing a YouTube script? It keeps the tone lighthearted and casual while staying concise and informative. It helps you go from draft to done fast. No more rewriting the same sentence 5 times just to make sure it sounds right. Grammarly suggests improvements instantly so you can focus on what really matters. Good writing isn't about fixing typos, it's about effective communication. And the best part? Everything I've talked about is free to use and try out. Use my link to see how Grammarly can help you level up your productivity by writing faster, better, and with more confidence. Thank you to Grammarly for sponsoring this video. Now, back to Winterkorn. Winterkorn was extremely determined, and to be fair, Volkswagen definitely picked up the pace. Their revenue began to climb, as did their manufacturing. Employees who previously rolled their eyes at another big CEO strategy were soon on board as well. When they keep repeating a goal after a year or two, then it's time to listen. Everyone was on board, even the unions were committed, and to the company's credit, it was working. In 2012, they had reached 9.2 million vehicles produced, although they were still a ways behind Toyota. But what about their plans for sustainability? As we all know, the first company to truly dominate the EV space wasn't Volkswagen. It was Tesla, who were just now beginning to gain momentum. Other car giants had bet on hybrids, but Volkswagen's success had come from an unlikely area, diesel. Diesel is extremely fuel efficient and economic. They produce low amounts of carbon dioxide, although much higher nitrogen oxide, which still pollutes the atmosphere. But Volkswagen revealed their new solution, a new diesel variant of the iconic Volkswagen Golf. It was supposed to be clean and produce low levels of carbon dioxide and, miraculously, even low nitrogen oxide. Volkswagen was extremely confident and accelerated marketing for this clean diesel, even running a Super Bowl commercial. Sales for their new diesel cars were exploding, and their clean diesel won environmental awards and many tax breaks. Volkswagen was making strides for sustainability, except that's what everyone thought. As it turns out, something was very, very wrong at Volkswagen, and that very year, Volkswagen's plans and ambitions would be shattered, all from a few students. At this time, amidst Volkswagen's new diesel boom, the California Air Resource Board noticed something strange. Volkswagen's clean diesel cars were showing anomalies, yet they couldn't explain why. They needed to solve this mystery, so they contacted the West Virginia University Center for Alternative Fuels, Engines, and Emissions to help with research. Three grad students arrived in California to test the cars, equipping them with equipment that can monitor their emissions. They began driving the cars on the California highways and observed the results, but they couldn't believe what they saw. Volkswagen had paraded these cars on their low emissions, specifically low carbon dioxide and in particular low nitrogen oxide, which diesels are known to emit in mass. But the Volkswagen cars the students tested were producing 40 times the permitted nitrogen oxide gases, 40 times above the limit. The three students were in disbelief, so they immediately pulled the car over on the highway. How? 40 times the permitted level? How on earth did this happen? As it turns out, Volkswagen's researchers couldn't achieve the company's grand ambitions. After years of work, engineers couldn't meet the US pollution guidelines without greatly sacrificing the car's mileage and acceleration. One engineer said, "The CARB is not realistic. We can do quite a bit, but the impossible we cannot do." So they decided to do something else. They designed software for the car that detected when it was being tested, when the drive wheels were rotating while the other wheels were stationary and the steering wheel was held constant and in straight position, the computer would send commands to the nitrogen oxide trap, increasing its effectiveness, but also causing more fuel to be burned, thus allowing the TDI to pass the test. Once the car recognized the test was over, the engine returned to its default settings, meaning high nitrogen oxide emissions, well above the limit. Naturally, the software doesn't limit emissions if the car drives normally, like when the students took the cars on the highway. This was cheating the system. This was fraud on a major level, a huge lie by Volkswagen. The engineers felt as though they had no choice. They were expected to deliver on unrealistic and, in this case, impossible promises made by marketing and supported by upper management. The team at West Virginia University published their findings at a public forum, and here, the dominoes began to fall. Up until this point, the scandal and deception had moved very slowly, but now, events began to accelerate, as Winterkorn watched his empire crumble before his very eyes. The Environmental Protection Agency, or the EPA, after learning about the test results, contacted Volkswagen for an explanation, and before long, the EPA announced that Volkswagen had violated the Clean Air Act.
And now the scandal enveloping Volkswagen. Today, the company said it would recall 11 million diesel cars worldwide after admitting they had been rigged to cheat emissions tests.
So it causes asthma, it causes strokes, it causes birth abnormalities. It causes people to die earlier than they should do. And Volkswagen took a decision to fit technology and software to their vehicle, knowing that their cars will produce much more, in the case of the US, 40 times more pollution on the road than they were allowed to.
The day after the EPA's announcement, Volkswagen shares dropped by 20%. The next day, another 12%, then another 10%. It was so severe that other German car companies also saw their share prices drop, including about a 5% drop for BMW. Regulators in Europe and the United States quickly began to investigate the company, and talks of criminal charges were looming. So what about Winterkorn? How did the ambitious CEO face this new challenge? Well, he resigned right away. Apparently, this was taking responsibility, despite him also saying, "I am not aware of any wrongdoing on my part." Truly inspiring and accountable leadership. But don't worry, this isn't the end of his story. The justice system would make sure of that. But even with Winterkorn gone, Volkswagen had another gigantic problem. The fines began piling up. They pleaded guilty to 3 criminal felony counts and agreed to pay $2.8 billion and then settled a civil claim, paying another $1.5 billion. Then, Volkswagen had to pay $2.7 billion for environmental mitigation. Then, a 1 billion euro fine to the German government and a similar amount to the European Union. Worse, however, were the buybacks of these affected cars to compensate customers, which cost Volkswagen over $10 billion. In total, in fines, penalties, settlements, and buybacks, this entire scandal cost the German automaker over $33 billion. Their earnings dropped from over $19 billion to a loss of $1.4 billion. But in reality, these fines were nothing compared to the actual price Volkswagen paid. Volkswagen was just at the heart of the automotive industry's biggest scandal, which is now referred to as Dieselgate. Customers had totally lost trust in the brand. Now they needed to rebuild their reputation, but this would be very, very costly. But how? They had lied to everyone and were now seen as a climate cheat. In response, they had to show their commitment to clean vehicles. In their 2017 annual report, Volkswagen unveiled a brand new ambitious strategy, Roadmap E. They were going all in on electric vehicles. "We are reinventing the car," said Matthias Müller, the CEO replacing Winterkorn. "To achieve this, we are making targeted investments to provide the necessary funds from our own resources. $50 billion and more is the sum the group will be investing in battery cell procurement over the coming years." Promising, although this is the CEO who, while apologizing for the diesel scandal, also said, "We didn't lie," and that there was simply a misunderstanding of US law. Regardless, Volkswagen was betting everything on EVs. They announced a goal to build 3 million EVs a year by 2025. Soon, they increased their spending again, increasing their battery contracts to $48 billion. They also made agreements with other gigantic manufacturers to expand their production for their growing Volkswagen EV fleet. But things still weren't quite turning around like Volkswagen hoped, so they decided to up the stakes and the investment. In late 2021, Volkswagen announced something big, their 5-year plan. They would commit $100 billion in spending towards EVs over the next 5 years. More than half the money Volkswagen Group spends in the next 5 years will go towards electric vehicles and other high technology efforts. Sounds a bit like Winterkorn's Strategy 2018, if you ask me. While spending more on EVs, they simultaneously announced that expenditures on hybrid vehicles, which use batteries along with gasoline engines, would be reduced by 30%. A new plant would be constructed at the Volkswagen headquarters in Wolfsburg, Germany, which would build their newest EVs. Yet, as time went on, things only got worse. Despite all the investment, Volkswagen wasn't succeeding like they had hoped. In 2023, they sold 770,000 EVs, far below their 3 million goal for 2025. For comparison, Tesla had sold 1.81 million, but the real king of EVs is China. Chinese EV producers sold 4.6 million vehicles in that same year. Companies like BYD are leaving Volkswagen in the dust. So why? Why is their $100 billion bet failing? Well, demand isn't climbing as people expected, but more importantly, the prices aren't realistic for customers. One of their flagship vehicles is the Audi Q8 e-tron, an 80,000 euro electric SUV, but no one in Europe can afford this car. Chinese EVs, however, are far, far cheaper with more efficient production and much better government subsidies. Volkswagen had committed tens of billions and eventually $100 billion, and it didn't have this lying around. How are they financing their endless pursuit of EVs? In order to raise capital, they performed an IPO for Porsche. The sports car brand managed to reach a valuation of 70 billion euros and 19.5 billion in capital for Volkswagen. But even this wasn't nearly enough. The real answer is debt. In order to finance this giant investment, Volkswagen has gained significant debt. In 2015, at the time of Dieselgate, Volkswagen had a total debt of $120 billion. A lot of money, but modest compared to what it would become. As the company needed more and more money for their EV investment, not to mention the $33 billion in fines and buybacks, they took on more and more liabilities. According to their financials in September 2024, they had amassed $220 billion in debt. With this, their debt-to-equity ratio is 1.43, not as bad as the telecom industry, but still bad for the auto industry. BMW sits at 1.14, and Toyota sits at an impressive 0.64. Although, the problem isn't just paying it off, it's servicing the debt. Debt comes with interest, and at about $220 billion, the servicing costs Volkswagen pays are likely gargantuan. Volkswagen unfortunately failed their 2025 3 million EVs a year aspirations. In 2024, they delivered 744,000 EVs, which is actually a 3.4% decrease from 2023. Now, Volkswagen isn't so sure about their EV bet anymore. They're currently looking at canceling production of cars like the underperforming e-tron, but this creates another problem. They invested billions in giant plants and manufacturing contracts that are way, way under capacity. Really no point in factories making products people won't buy. As a result, Volkswagen is considering closing some of their European plants to cut costs, which would be the first time they've ever done so. But what about the man who caused all of this? What about Martin Winterkorn? Well, after he left, things got much worse. He was criminally indicted within the United States in 2018, as well as in Germany. He is still a fugitive in the US and a wanted man by the EPA on charges including conspiracy to defraud the United States. He was last seen in a German court in early 2024 where he denied any wrongdoing. A brave leader, indeed. It's not just Volkswagen who's drowning in debt thanks to EVs. Ford is not in a much better situation. Check out this video to learn more. But until then, I'm Hari, and I'll see you guys on the next one.